I'm so thankful to be here this morning to see everyone here in this congregation. I'm thankful for the privilege to be in the meeting in California last week. I was in five or six days of meeting, two services a day and three on Saturday. And I was wondering, do you ever get tired of worshiping the Lord? Do you ever get tired of coming into His presence? He said that where two or three were gathered in His name, He'd be there in the midst, didn't He? Oh, I need the Lord. I need Him desperately this morning. I desire your prayers that He will bless the thoughts that He has laid on our hearts. I'd like to... for us to turn to the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, if you would. Familiar verses, the last two verses here, says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I'd like to talk to us for a little bit this morning about spiritual immunity. Immunity. Notice the scripture said He would bring every secret thing to judgment, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Doesn't mean that He's only going to bring the bad things, but He will bring all the good things into judgment. We'll be judged by the works and the deeds that we've done in this body. But He mentions the secret things. I want to think about that for just a little bit today. I want to give you a definition of immunity. We all have what we call an immune system in our bodies. The immune system is set up in such a way that it produces what they call antibodies that fight against the pathogens and other enemies that come against our body, diseases, germs, things like that. These pathogens, they say, can rapidly evolve. Now, this is important for us to get a hold of if you want to really understand the burden this morning. They can rapidly evolve and adapt and thereby avoid detection and neutralization by the immune system. In other words, we're hearing about the smart germs that are able to invade the body, and the immune system somehow is not able to detect them. They say the germs are getting smarter today. But he said, I want you to get a hold of that again. They can rapidly evolve and adapt to avoid detection and to keep from being neutralized by the immune system. Immune means not capable of being affected by a disease. It means not influenced or affected by something. Now, I'm sure that you're getting a picture in your mind right now when I speak of spiritual immunity. Immunity means a high degree of resistance. The body, it's amazing, the body, Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the body is able to develop multiple defense mechanisms against germs and disease. But notice it told me this too when I was studying on it. Immune deficiency occurs when the immune system is less active than normal. In other words, it's important that you and I eat the proper things and do the proper things for our body, that it will be a healthy body and be able to fight off the pathogens or the germs that come against the body. To me, that's interesting. Helps us to understand, maybe learn a little bit about how the body works and what God has put in our system and our body to be able to fight off these things, because there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of things out there, and we know today that there's all kinds of diseases and people are getting sick everywhere. But the body has been given an immune system. And I want to repeat that again. I won't do a lot of repeating, but I want to repeat this again. A deficiency of the immune system occurs when the immune system is less active than normal. It's important for you and I, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, to have an immune system that's very active. Because you and I face the enemy every day. We may face him different today than we will tomorrow. He may come in a different avenue on Tuesday than he does on Wednesday. The enemy, the Bible said, he's subtle and he's wily. And he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's you and me that he's seeking to devour. But I'm thankful this morning that there is an immune system that God has given you and I, his children, that we can resist these things that the enemy wants to pour upon us and the ways that he wants to come against us. Spiritual immunity is built by following the Word of God. That's number one. To follow the Word of God, we can build up our spiritual immunity. He can give us a defense against the secret wiles of the enemy. Now, I want to say this because it's true. Every one of us in this room have secrets. We have things about us that other people don't know about. But God does. And that's why the Scripture says that He would bring into every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The Lord can and will give us a defense against the wiles of the enemy. It starts, this is important too, I think. It starts with us wanting to have a relationship with God more than life itself. Now that brings it down to a pretty deep consecration, doesn't it? It starts with us wanting to have a relationship with God even more than caring about life itself. Folks, we're going back to God. The Bible said all souls are mine. And at the end of it all, we're going to meet God. And we're going back to God. And we're going to give an account of the secret things and the things that we've done in our body and in our lives. One of the greatest defenses that we can have in our spiritual immune system, obviously, is prayer, isn't it? Prayer. We need a prayer furnace. Does that imply something this morning? We need a fervent prayer life where God can consume the secrets that are in our lives. We need a prayer life, a burning prayer life, where we can get a hold of God when we see the enemy coming. Or if we don't see the enemy coming, that God will reveal him to us. You know, the Holy Spirit can and will reveal things to us that we can't see with our natural eye. And the enemy comes in because he's a spirit and because he's subtle In other words, he's a sneaky fella, and he comes in ways that we can't see because we, everyone, have a hard time seeing ourselves. Or we can see the other fella, and we can tell them about things and how they are and the things that are that we see in their life, the weakness or the issues that they have. But it's myself that I'm interested in this morning. I want to build up an immune system that God, in His mercy and love to me, that He will reveal everything that the enemy is trying to do when he comes to attack my soul and comes to attack my salvation. When we pray, and I hope we do this, when we pray with expectation. You know, we humans are so easy. It's so easy for us to fall in a rut. Well, it's time to go to prayer. I'm getting ready to go to bed, or I got up this morning, and it's time to talk to the Lord a little bit. Folks, we need to pray with expectation. We need to expect something from God. My prayer for this congregation is that God will answer your prayers when you call upon Him. Folks, it's important that God answer our prayers, not just going through the motions of praying, but developing this prayer furnace that is so fervent and draws us so close to God and brings His presence down in our own hearts and in our very souls, in our very bosom, that you and I can consume everything that the enemy, through the power and the grace of God, that the enemy can be consumed in any way that he is trying to attack us. That's so important, isn't it? Now, what I'm talking about is something that we all face every day. We all need this morning. I need it. I was looking at it, and the Lord was dealing with me, thinking, Lord, I really need this. I really need this. Because we all come under attack one way or another. Now, I want to say this. We all can have a built-in immunity when we humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves. Coming before God. Folks, that the one that is humble is the one that God gives the grace to. We know that, don't we? And we can have a built-in immunity against the enemy, against people. People is one of our biggest battles sometimes. People. And we can have a built-in immunity when we just humble ourselves, submit ourselves before God. God is able to help us when we do those things. So we not only have secret things, but the devil comes and he works in secret things. He works in my secret things, and he does that secretly. I need a spiritual immune system. I need a spiritual understanding. I need spiritual power. I need spiritual discernment to be able to see every place that the enemy is coming to attack me and coming against me. I need to see every place. I need to know where the devil is working, don't I? Now, I'm not going to be able to hit everything, but I want to speak about a few things in particular. One of the first things that I want to speak about is rumors. Because it seems like us humans have a tendency to like to spread rumors sometimes. Something that we hear from someone else, or something that we thought we saw, thought we understood, and don't always know and understand what we saw. Folks, rumors can divide a congregation. Rumors can divide a church. Rumors can cause a lot of damage, and the devil knows those things. And when you hear a rumor, take it to God. Take it to God. Tell the Lord about it. Because if we'll do it that way, a lot of the problems that develop and occur among a group of people, a lot of those problems can be cleared up much quicker and much more easily if we just take them to God and submit it to God. I'm talking about our immune system here this morning. A lot of these problems could be cleared up if we'll just take hearsay, what someone has to say, that may be negative about someone else especially. And it seems like the negative news travels much faster than the positive news, doesn't it? We all know that. I see you shaking your head. We all know that. Take it to God. If you want to have an immune system that works, an immune system that will expose the enemy in every way that he wants to come against you, take it to God. Because God is the one that knows how to deal with it. He knows your makeup. He knows your personality. He knows their personality. He knows all about it, doesn't he? We don't have to go to prayer and explain it to him. He knows all about it. We just take it to God and say, God, you know what I heard. You know what is being said about so-and-so. And I don't want to have suspicions in my mind or thoughts about that individual. So, God, I'm talking to you and I want you to clear out my mind. I want you to keep those things out of my heart that I don't look at someone cross-eyed or way that I shouldn't look at someone. So we can keep the unity of the faith. We can keep the unity of the Spirit. And we can keep the unity of a congregation. We can keep the unity of God's people. What is the atmosphere like in our spiritual life? The atmosphere. Now, we know what the atmosphere is. It's the things that surround it. It's what's around it. It's where we live. What is the atmosphere? And I want us to ask ourselves that question. What is the atmosphere of our spiritual life? The Lord knows what it is, doesn't He? He said He will bring everything, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Are we being honest with ourselves? In our dealings with ourselves and in our dealings with God, are we being honest with ourselves? One of the things that ought to be a part of the atmosphere that is surrounding our spiritual life is trust. Trust, folks. We need to be able to trust God to take care of the other individual. We don't have to go around and police one another. We don't have to go around and tell everybody else our opinions and what we think about them and how we're looking at them. We don't have to do those things. But we need to keep those things to ourselves. We need to take it to that furnace and we need to have it consumed. If we want to get along as God's people and if we want to have power with God, this is what we're going to have to do. Trust. If I see something that you're doing that you probably shouldn't be doing because it may hinder your spiritual walk with God, folks, I need to be able to go to God and trust Him enough to know that if you're in living to all that you know and understand, and if you're walking in the Spirit of God, His Spirit will deal with you. His Spirit will reveal Himself to you. And if you're honest with yourself and with God, He'll take care of those things. I don't have to go around and police you. And you don't have to go around and police me. I'm not telling you that everything's perfect with Brother Larry, and I know it isn't. But he said secret things, see. Those things that are secret, those things that are unknown, may even be a secret to myself until God reveals it to me. But God in His faithfulness will do that. And when He does, I take it to that prayer furnace. And I ask God, Lord, if it's not good, consume it. Burn it up, purge it out, cleanse it out. That I might have power with God. That I might have a strong immune system against the wiles of the enemy. I hope you understand part of my burden this morning. I want to look at a scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, communion. My wife and I have been together going on 46 years. And we walked together those years. We've had our issues like every other married couple has. But folks, our relationship goes deeper than just her knowing my birthday and me knowing her birthday and when her anniversary is. Communion means that I know her intimately. I know her makeup. I know about her. She knows about me. She knows what makes me tick. I know what makes her tick. Folks, it said here, what communion hath light with darkness? You and I that have taken a stand for the truth, folks, have no communion with error in any way, shape, or form. We don't have any fellowship or communion. We cannot have communion with error. We must, if we love the truth and we are following the truth is all that we can accept in our hearts and all that we can accept in our lives. But he went on to say, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? See, they don't go together, do they? They can't have agreement, can't they? Can they? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. When God spoke to Abraham back in his day, he told him who he was. You know who what he said? He said, I am God Almighty. This is the Lord Almighty that is speaking to us this morning. He said here, wherefore come out from among them. This was the gospel. This was the coming out message back in D.S. Warner's day. And I want to say that it has not died. It is still the message today. You and I cannot have fellowship with the world. We cannot have fellowship with sectism in any way, shape, or form. We cannot have fellowship with error, things that are contrary to the truth of God's Word. We can't have fellowship with those things. And He said for us to come out. I believe that you and I as Christians should live a holy life that reflects the nature of the very one that saved us. We ought to reflect His nature in our lives. We should separate ourselves from actions and influences or people that will contaminate us. And I'm going to go on and take that a little farther. We must avoid those things that are contrary to a biblical standard of purity. We must avoid, I'm talking about my immune system. If you want to weaken it, you have fellowship with something you shouldn't have fellowship with. We must avoid those things that are contrary to a biblical standard of purity. We must avoid those, an association that will harm our immune system. Associating with things that are not of God. We must avoid those things that are harmful to a weaker brother. Lord, help us. Some of us are pretty strong. Some of us been in the way for a while. We have very strong feelings about what we believe. We have very strong feelings about what we can do and what we cannot do. God has dealt with us, showed us what we can do, what we can't do. Hasn't He? He's done that with every one of us. And you can do some things maybe that I cannot do. I might be able to do some things maybe that God would not approve of you doing. And I'm not talking about sin here. I'm just talking about things God has put His hand on in my life or your life that's telling you that you need to stay away from it because those things are a weakness to you and could cause you to lose your soul. God deals with us that way, doesn't He? We must avoid those things that are contrary, that are harmful to a weaker brother. And I'll admit to you, I need help along that line myself. Because I'm very strong in what I believe. Very strong. Not everybody's there. Not everybody's strong. But as a leader, as a minister, folks, I've got to be very careful that I don't do the things when I know that my brother is weak, that I don't do those things that would harm him or discourage him. Lord, help us to know how to build up our immune system here. We must avoid those things that are offensive to the conscience. Be very careful. Be very careful. The Bible tells us not to grieve the Spirit of God. Be very careful that you don't harm or weaken your conscience. That's what God deals with you through. The Spirit of God will deal with your conscience. And that's how the Lord convicts us and shows us what we need to do and how what we need to do with self. The place that I need to come to in my own life. God deals with us through our conscience, folks. Yes, He does. And He will point out things through our conscience to show us just what He wants us to do, to measure to get rid of, to cut off, or to put on. That's Scripture, isn't it? Avoid those things that are harmful or contrary to your conscience. Avoid those things. This is pretty obvious, isn't it? Avoid those things that fail to follow the example of Christ. Avoid them. Stay away from them. Come out from among them is the message here. Because there can be no communion between light and darkness. There's no communion with Christ and Belial, folks. We either choose in our hearts to take the truth and follow the truth and keep the truth, or we choose to allow error to come in and cause that truth to be shaded. And when we do that, how did that say that? In my first, when the immune system is less active than normal. You see, we can hinder our immune system. And we can weaken our immune system is what I should say. So we must be very careful to follow the example of Christ. I believe these things, now I said I can't hit them all. These things will help to solidify or make solid our spiritual immune system. If we'll follow some of these guidelines here, it'll make them solid. I want to have a healthy immune system. I want to have something in my relationship with God, as I said earlier, that He will reveal to me where the secret things are. Those things that maybe are unknowns to me. Maybe others can see it, but it's unknowns to me. I've never been an advocate. I've never been one to believe that God has saved us and He's called every one of us to go around and judge somebody else. I've never been one to believe that. And I don't believe it this morning either. And I have a scripture for that here in a little bit. I want to read the first verse of the next chapter here. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. We got some work to do. Let's cleanse ourselves. How do we do that? When God reveals the secret things. When He shows us where the enemy is taking advantage of us. Maybe I should say it that way. Because the enemy will take advantage of every one of us. And sometimes He'll do it in a way that we don't realize He's doing it. So He said, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let me say, of all the secret things that are hindering my spiritual immunity, and of the Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I believe that's a lifelong work, don't you? That's a lifelong work, folks, for you and I to perfect holiness in the fear of God. The Word of God, and the Bible bears it out, is continually cleansing our fleshly nature and our spirit to perfect us, perfect our love and our desire toward our Lord and Savior. He's continually doing that with every one of us, and I'm thankful for it. But He said here, let us cleanse ourselves. It's important that we do this. If we don't want to have a sick body, if we don't want the germs to come in or the enemy to come in and destroy us, folks, we've got to have a strong immune system. And it's up to you and I to build that. I've already given you some of the things, the prayer life, the humility, and the Word of God, and those kind of things. It's up to you and I to build that strong immunity against the enemy of our souls, because we have been charged here to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and perfecting holiness. How? In the fear of God. This is the whole duty of man. We started with that, didn't we? Fear God and keep His commandments. Do we fear God this morning? Do we fear to grieve Him? Do we fear to step out of order with God? Do we fear to do something when the devil comes along to tempt us? Do we feel to go against our conscience or our convictions that God has put upon our hearts? We ought to have a fear that we don't do those things. Fearing God means respecting Him, honoring Him. Folks, there's very little of that today in our world. There's very little, folks, that fear God. Lord, help us to fear God. I'd like to look at a scripture found in Romans, the 2nd chapter. Therefore, first verse, thou art inexcusable. There's no excuse for this. O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now I want to get into that judgment a little bit deeper, if I could. Even though you and I will not escape the judgment of God, when we realize how perfect His judgment is, we may not be so quick to judge ourselves. The enemy, one of the tactics that the enemy can use is to come in and accuse us of things that are not so. And then we begin to judge ourselves, and we begin to do things the enemy gets us out of balance, if I can use that term. He gets us out of balance, and he begins to cause us to look at things, we look at things askew. We don't look at them right. That's the enemy's, one of his ploys in trying to break down my immune system. Judging one another. I have seen over the years of my life, I've seen the enemy use critical spirits. I've seen the enemy use opinions. I've seen the enemy use, well, just whatever that person thinks. And they apply that against others and make that a standard for the church. It doesn't work that way. He said again, thou art inexcusable that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. If I see something, let's consider this. If I see something in your life that you're doing, and I come to you, and I tell you, you know, you need to stop this, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you're standing there waiting on me when I finish just to tell me what you see that I need to do, it ain't going to do you much good, is it? You're not going to be willing to take that counsel from someone that you don't have confidence in either. So the best, I think the way to stay out of this is for me to bring my secret things to the Lord. To get my counsel from the Lord and leave you alone. That's what I prefer to do. Very few times. Matter of fact, I can't even think of any time right now that I've ever went to someone and tried to tell them or decide to tell them what they need to do. Folks, that's God's business. You've heard me preach that before. You've heard me say that several times. That's God's business. I want to work on Larry. It's important that I make heaven my home. It's very important to me. The most important thing to me. More important than preaching, more important than life itself, is that I make heaven my eternal home. And I'm desperate to do that. And I can't do that by meddling around in your affairs and in your life. I can't do it. I don't understand you as well as God does. My judgments are not as perfect as His is. Folks, if I'll just mind my own business, is that all right? If I'll just mind my own soul's business, I believe that I can help keep my spiritual immunity healthy for my soul. Now, I've been called. I believe that now. That God has called, and He's called me to preach the gospel. But Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. That's all I'm required to do, folks, is preach the word. And I've got an obligation to God to do that. But to get in your life and in your personal affairs and tell you what you're doing wrong, the Bible doesn't tell me to do that. I don't read anywhere where it tells me or you to do that. I hope you understand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying that that's going on, but I know how the devil works. Let me say it this way. It's going on. It's going on, but I'm not saying it's going on here. I'm not saying that. But it's going on. You know, the devil is always, always trying to undermine your experience. He's always trying to undermine your experience. Has he told you lately, you're not saved? When he took Jesus out there and he tempted Jesus, when Jesus was taken out in the Spirit, if you be the Son of God, maybe you're not. The enemy loves to come against us with those kind of things, doesn't he? He's always trying to undermine your experience with God. He'll do it any way that he can possibly do it to get you discouraged or to get you thinking in another vein of thought. He's subtle that way. Don't let him do it, folks. When the enemy sets a trap for us, there's a God that will show us that trap. If we have healthy spiritual immunity against the enemy of our souls. We need that. We need that desperately, folks. Don't let the enemy or anything undermine your connection with God. Keep your connection, folks. Keep it clear. Keep it open. The only way to do that is to be honest and have a furnace prayer life, where I can take something to God and say, Lord, this is what's troubling me. You see what so-and-so said or what so-and-so did, or you see this or you see that or whatever it might be, and I can take it to the Lord and ask Him to consume it. The devil will get something in your mind and he'll try his best to keep it in your mind for a long time. He'll get you to thinking his way. He'll get you to get your eyes off of the Lord. He'll get you to get your eyes on the problem or the individual that hurt you or whatever it might be. That's the tactics of the enemy. Don't allow anything to undermine your connection with God. Now, this here is kind of important for me. We can rob ourselves of the presence of God by not getting the victory that He has for us. We've got to get the victory. We've got to get the victory, whatever it is, that the enemy's coming and imposing on us. Wherever he's trying to undermine in our walk with the Lord, we got to get the victory over it. If you want the presence of God, folks, you can't force the presence of God. We have to be in a spiritual place. We have to have a spiritual consecration that we are doing all that we know and understand to please God. All that we know and understand. Then we can have His presence. And folks, if you really want His presence, we can rob it if we don't get victory. The victory that He has for us. There's victory in Jesus, you know. There's victory there. We don't have to bow down to the enemy of our souls. We don't ever have to do that. We are all fighting a battle, but we're fighting from victory. We're fighting this battle with Jesus as our captain. With God that promised to be with us always, even unto the end. Even when the things look huge. Even when the sun's behind the cloud. God is still God. God is still God. Even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out the way that we think it ought to work out. God is still God, folks. And His promises are still true. But it's my spiritual connection with God that I've got to keep healthy. That when I go through those hard places, hard and difficult places, places that I don't understand, places where, as the book said, when God doesn't make sense, when it seems like I've begged and begged God to do something and God still hasn't done it yet, folks, Lord help us, He wants to be able to trust us to trust Him. He wants to be able to trust us to trust Him. Has He ever let you down? Has He ever not been there when you desperately needed Him, folks? He's always been there for me. And I've been in some pretty hard, difficult places. I've been in the places where I thought for sure that I was going to die. He's been there. And He's brought us out of it. He's still God, folks. You know, always remember, always, the spiritual healing is much more important than the physical healing. But we have a hard time believing that way or seeing it that way sometimes. When God allows us to go through some hard places, it's the spiritual healing that He wants to bring about. It's the secret things, the secret places that He wants to reveal. He wants to show more of me about me. Oh, I think about this so many times when I'm thinking about this subject here. I think about poor old Job and all that Job went through and all that he suffered, all that he lost, all the accusations from his so-called friends, his comforters, and even his own wife cursed God and died. And when he came to the end of it all, he said, I once heard of him, but now I see him. And he said, He maketh my heart soft. Folks, it's the spiritual healing. He wants to make our heart soft. He wants to make us soft. He wants to make us pliable. A broken and a contrite heart, He will never refuse, the Bible says. He wants to make us soft and pliable. He wants us in a place where we can listen. Sometimes we got to get real quiet. So we can hear what God has. That still small voice. We got to get quiet if you want to hear it. But sometimes we get so distressed and so worked up and we're so troubled in our spirits. This is what the flesh does to us, folks. I'm talking about us this morning having strong spiritual immunity against the wiles of the enemy and the ways that he likes to work with us. More important, I'm not saying our physical healing is not important. Sure it is. It's important to God too. But He's much more interested in our spiritual healing. He's much more interested in our spiritual growth. Much more interested in our spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom. He's much more interested in those things. You know, if whatever affliction I might have, God just has to say the word and it's done, isn't it? All He has to do is say the word. I mean, it's no big deal. He made the bodies, He made the flesh, and He certainly can speak the word and they'll be healed. So I trust God. I believe that this morning. I really believe that. I've seen it. And I know that it is so. But He's interested in my soul. He's interested in us making heaven, folks. So I ask myself the question, what do I allow to interfere with my walk with God? Sometimes we just allow things. We allow the enemy to just come in and talk to us and work with us and work on us. What do I allow to interfere with my walk with God? You can rest assured that tomorrow, maybe even before this day's over, He'll bring something to try to interfere with your walk. He'll bring some kind of accusation. He'll bring some kind of discouragement. Some kind of thought, won't He? Sure He will. But I've got to allow it for Him to be able to do it. Boy, it's plain. The Bible's plain. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse us. Lord, help us. He accused Jesus too. Jesus rebuked Him with the Word of God. I'm coming down to the close of this little message. But here's something that I found that's important to me. It might be important to you. We must be immune to criticism. There's a lot of critics out there, you know that? I'd be a fool to believe that everybody liked to hear Brother Larry preach. I'd be a fool to believe that everybody loves Brother Larry. There's going to be the critics among us. Among us. Remember the little message that I preached about personalities? Remember that? We all have different personalities. We see we're all different. We're all made up different. And folks, there's going to be people that's going to allow their personalities to lash out to your personality. Lash out. Criticize. Find fault with. I'm talking from experience here this morning. I'm not talking from hearsay. I'm talking from experience. Lord, help us not to be immune to criticism. Constructive criticism, that's one thing. But to be falsely accused without any credibility behind it, that's something you're going to have to cast off. And you're going to have some power to do it. Because the enemy will take it and run with it. This is right down where we live, folks. It's right down here where we live. I'm not saying that if someone is exposing something about you and you need to take it home and pray about it. You need to take it to the Lord. Put it in the furnace. You need to pray about it. And then whatever the Lord reveals to you, you need to go with it. But I want to tell you this morning that God does not allow criticism to come to you or against you just to get you down. He said something, and Jesus said something about it, needs be that offenses will come. Woe unto them from whom it comes. Folks, I've been criticized. You've been criticized probably. Folks, it said the world hated me and it's going to hate you. And don't think that these things are all going to come from without. They're going to come from within. But we still must be humble, submissive to God, that we can work together and love one another. It's all still there, isn't it? Even in the midst of these kind of things, of false accusations or critical spirits or whatever it is that may come against us, we still must love one another. The Bible tells us to be kind, to be gentle, to be loving, even as God, for Christ's sake, has loved us. These things come against us in our life, folks. Now, I'm going to give you some things to beware. Beware of. Beware of secrets, such as anger. People got anger issues. Beware of bitterness. Only you know sometimes, usually, whether there's bitterness there. Ill will. Ill will leads to bitterness. Ill will comes from ill treatment. Someone that hasn't treated you very nice. Someone that's criticized you. Someone's lashed out at you. That ill will turns to bitterness if you don't get rid of it. Take care of it. Take it to the Lord. Beware of secret things, folks. Anxieties. Some people get a little more anxious than others do. What did Paul say about anxious? He said to be anxious for nothing, didn't he? Anxieties, secret things. Things in my life, things that in your life that you have to deal with. Put them in the prayer furnace. Take it to the Lord and let Him consume it, that you might be able to have immunity against the enemy when he really comes against your soul. Fears. Some people have fears of different things. Malice. Oh, I tell you, that person over there, I just love to... That's malice. You leave them to God. You submit them to God and take care of yourself. Present yourself before the Lord, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Present yourself. Don't present them. Present yourself. Oh, we can get along. We get along real good if we follow some of these things, folks. Get along real good as a whole, as a people of God. Envy. Lord, help us not to let envy get in. Envying someone else. Sister so-and-so can pray better than I can. Brother so-and-so can exhort or give a better testimony than I can. Is that from God? No. No, it isn't. We love one another. We care about one another. Everyone is welcome to minister by Holy Spirit leadership. We're getting ready to go to Monarch, some of us. We want to be careful to put that in there. Holy Spirit leadership. I still believe in it. Sometimes I wonder how many really know what it is, but I still believe in it. It will direct our services, won't it? And it will keep out the envy. It will keep out the malice and the strife and all those things that tear up a body. I want to have good spiritual immunity. Strong. When we get rid of these things, I believe we can live close to God. We can live close to God, folks, if we get rid of them. If we find that we have any of them, God will reveal it. Let me tell you something about God revealing, and I'll be finished. Remember the fellas that brought the woman that was taken into adultery to Jesus? Remember that? Found over there in the book of John. And they said, this woman was just taken in adultery. It sounded to me like, from the way the story reads, that they were just lying in wait for it to set the trap and bring her to Jesus, to set a trap on Him. Spring a trap on Him. But Jesus didn't say anything, did He? But He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. I don't know what He wrote, neither do you. We all have our speculations. You know, one of the things that I speculate? I think He started writing some secrets on the ground. I think those fellas, what'd they do? When they looked down there and saw whatever it is he wrote, they walked away, didn't they? They had some secrets. They had some secrets. And Jesus is the very one that can expose those secrets, isn't he? He knows man's heart. The Bible says when he was here on earth, he read men's hearts. He reads our hearts today. He knows our secret things. He began to write on the ground. They began to look down there and, oh my, I didn't know he knew that about me. I didn't know he knew that. And they began to walk away and he said, woman, where's your accusers? There wasn't anybody around, accuser, was there? And Christ loves us so much, you must remember, neither do I condemn you. Folks, he come to save us, not to condemn us. But his word condemns when we find ourselves in a place that we ought not to be. Neither I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Don't do any more of that stuff. Stay out of those places. Don't do those things because they're sin. But I don't condemn you either. These fellows judging one another, as we read in the scripture. So much for the judging of the woman in adultery. When he began to write my thoughts, the secret things. And he began to expose them right there on the ground in the dirt. Lord, help us today. It's important. I've been thinking about how time is winding down. Our country is getting worse. Lord, help us, folks, that we need to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We need to be strong. But we're going to have to work on ourselves to get there, to get that strength from God. Lord, help me. I want to be faithful to that end. Amen.